The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we are back. Final hour has arrived. Coach Mark Stoops joining us much earlier. Fantastic win for him and his program. We've also been talking about Will Muschamp's big win. Arkansas is still celebrating another significant moment in the Sam Pittman era. Let's get back to the calls, and Hank is in South Carolina. Hello, Hank.
How about you, Paul? You doing okay?
I am. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I got three or four things. Just happy for Cat Daddy and the Gamecocks. I'm a dog fan. I think Georgia's under the Vince Dooley curse, and I mean that by they outthink themselves. They run the ball methodically down the field. Then they get in the end zone and they want to pass it. Or vice versa, when you got Matt Stafford, you want to pass the ball down the field, and then you get in the red zone, you want to run the ball. I think he's just outthinking herself. And sooner or later, as long as they keep earning the right to go play Alabama, that's what they should do, because sooner or later they're going to put it together and win.
Sooner or later. I don't know when that sooner is going to be.
You got to keep going, though. One more thing, I want all the callers to know that all dog fans are not like Daryl. Just look at his friends on your show, Jim from Tuscaloosa and Jim from Chicago. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. We haven't had too much back and forth between Alabama and Georgia tonight, maybe a little bit. Joe is up next.
Well, you know, Paul, I want to thank you for taking my call, but I'm glad Hank called in, because all Georgia fans are not like Daryl. They're not. And I agree with that. I've got friends as Georgia fans. But Daryl, he got on Twitter, called me trailer trash. I called him back. And I'm sorry I've done that, because I do not need to stoop to his level to all this name calling.
When did he call you that?
That was on Twitter. He, said, well, go back, you're drunk.
Well, my question is, why would anyone care what Daryl says why would anyone care what Daryl says on Twitter when you consider some of the trash that he's put out there?
Well, that's where I need to apologize for myself, because he got me to respond to him and called him back, that Georgia fan. And Georgia
what did
fans
you, well, Joe, not to egg this on, but what did you say back to him?
I said that's typical coming from Georgia fan trailer trash. I shouldn't have said it back to him, because he's the one that brought up trailer, and people that live in these manufactured houses is not trash. So that's where I want to apologize, that I shouldn't have stooped to his level. But Daryl stooped to that, to calling me this, because his team got beat. They got whipped.
Hey, by the way, I'm curious about this, Joe. How do you feel about Auburn? Did you take any pride in that loss?
I took a lot of pride in that one, and I thought of Cat Day as soon as.
Hey, did you happen to hear Charles from Realtown calling earlier?
I did. That's what made me call in, with Charles from Realtown. That's what got me to say, I'm glad he's, hateful, but at least we know he's alive. But, I did.
Yeah, and I was wondering about it. And I didn't get a chance to ask Charles when he called in, because a lot of people have asked me that we were concerned that Charles had passed away.
Well, you ain't got to be concerned about that no more, have you?
Well, Charles, you have not been on this program, and we haven't heard from you in a year.
Well, you're hearing from me twice today. I know a lot of the listeners in there has wondered how I'm getting in twice, and they can't get in at all.
Well, I want to know where you. I want to know where have you been and what have you been doing.
I've been in Realtown. Where you think I've been?
Wow.
I ain't gonna move.
I didn't think you went to Paris or anything, but I'm just curious. How are you doing? I mean, we got this pandemic going on.
Well, I ain't got it. I've been staying at home, playing it safe, like old Joe Namath does on that commercial. He says the same thing.
So do you go out at all, Charles?
Not much. I go out a little bit, but I wear my mask.
I don't know why the idea of you in a mask really made me laugh.
I do, too. Why'd you laugh at that? You think it's funny?
I do, yeah.
You do? Well, I got on a pretty Auburn mask. Is that funny to you, too?
No, I'm glad to see you're still loyal to your school.
Yes, sir. Well, I try to be, Paul, but it's hard. You know, Auburn's in the same state with Alabama.
I didn't know that, but I appreciate the heads up.
Tired of hearing them bragging Alabama morons. I don't know what to do.
Well, like Joe from Red Bay?
Anybody. Any of them bragging Alabama.
Who are your, Charles, who are your least favorite Alabama fans on the show?
Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Well, he doesn't count.
Well, let me think of one. You know, it's been so long, I can't think of no Alabama callers. I ain't been listening, but I'm going to start listening. I'll be calling in, but you know, Paul, when I first started calling in, I could call in six times. You'd take my call all six times. You know why? Because either one of my calls would have been call of the day. Now I can't hardly get in twice. What's changed, Paul?
Well, Charles, the biggest thing that's changed is you quit calling.
Oh, I can get in six times a day now?
If you want to get in six times, we'll find room for you.
All right. I appreciate that. Well, let me ask you a question while I got you on for
okay,
me.
Sure.
Who come up with Auburn's game plan and call the plays? You have it. Yeah, you used to call. You coach a lot of the callers do. So, coach, answer that question.
Well, I mean, theoretically, Chad Morris comes up with a game plan, but you know Gus Malzahn. He is going to be involved.
Paul? Both of them idiots. The offensive line that Auburn's got, they couldn't protect Bo Nix. If they had to, if they had an AK-47 back there, they couldn't protect Bo Nix.
No.
Because he's running for his life. You know what, Paul? He passed the ball 47 times with the offensive line he's got. I want to know why ain't they running the dead blind ball.
Well, you have a good running back, and Bo Nix is a good mover too.
Yeah, I know it. Why ain't we running the ball more then, huh?
Well,
Tank Bigsby. You know who Tank Bigsby is?
Do I know who Pat Nix is? Yeah, of course I do.
I didn't say Pat Nix. I said Tank Bigsby. He's that freshman running back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I misunderstood your real town drawl.
You still a bragging old Alabama moron you always been. But I'm going to straighten you out, too. I'm going to straighten Auburn out, and I'm going to straighten you out with them. So you might as well get ready, bud.
Well, Charles, more than anything, I'm just glad to know you're back. We really did miss you. Rob is up next. Hey, Rob. Welcome to this program. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. You know, earlier in the afternoon, you said for Auburn to change coaches, two things had to happen. The first one being an appetite for change. Now, you probably know this with all the people you talk to, but believe it or not, among the Auburn community, there's not an appetite for change, and it drives me crazy. There should be, but there's not. Some of my best friends in the world are content to have Auburn be, you know, win 7-8 games and occasionally compete for a championship every now and then, a conference championship, no less, when the whole goal ought to be, if you're going to put a team on the field every year, your goal should be to win every game and compete for a national championship every year. And I still can't believe. Now, there's a little bit more of an appetite after Saturday, but long term, I just don't see that appetite for change, Paul. Do you?
No, and when the opportunity, I mean, first of all, the deal that the school made with Gus Malzahn a couple of years ago pretty much ended any chance of change. I mean, if he has a $20 million buyout remaining, you can't fire that guy.
Yep, and that'll tell you what it is. Until we get an attitude, and I mean the administration that makes the decisions, not me, but we've got to want to compete and win every game. And there's no intensity from the coaching staff we have now. I mean, there's no motivation. I can't imagine Gus Malzahn motivating me to play checkers and motivating anybody to want to win a ball game. He's not a motivator. He doesn't make.
Well, Rob, most of us, including myself, have never been in that position. But when you have essentially a lifetime contract, there's no way they can get rid of you. I know he does a good job. I'm not suggesting that he's not showing up for work. But, you know, I mean, the successful college football coaches have killer instincts. I mean,
That's right.
I mean, you don't think Nick Saban has, you know, has that gene? I mean, I don't mean to say too much, but we saw that the other day. And the great ones do.
And you alluded, Paul, you said there was the second part of your equation was having a backup plan, and you mentioned he may already be on staff. That's great, but I'm afraid if we don't get more of an appetite change, we can't even get to the second part of that equation. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, thank you very much. Really good to hear from you. Let's talk again soon. We are heading to a break. There's no appetite for change in Rocky Top, at least from the head coaching standpoint. There was a change today on the defensive line, and there is a growing suspicion that the quarterback's career could be somewhat up in the air. We've heard that argument before. Trey Wallace will join us.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and we've been listening to Jeremy Pruitt during the break. I had to double-check the score. It was 34-7, but it sounds like a one-possession game. Listening to Jeremy, let's talk to Trey Wallace. He covers the team up in Knoxville. Trey, thank you very much. I know you've been following this team for a while. We just heard from Jeremy. Didn't seem too concerned, but from what I've heard, a lot of other people are concerned about a number of things. Give us the lay of the land in Knoxville right now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Pod. Just got off the air, did 3 hours of radio, and the phone calls that we received, you know, it's something where Tennessee fans are now concerned. They've taken it to a different level. I think the second half of that Georgia game, you just looked at it and you saw where, you know, the offense couldn't do anything. The defense was struggling at times because they were being left on the field so much. You look at a situation that happened on Saturday against Kentucky where Tennessee fans, that's an expected win. It's not a knock on Kentucky, it's just history. So you look at how they came out. They just looked dead coming out of the tunnel to start the game. Second half didn't give them anything good when it comes to production. That three and out just hurt them coming out at halftime. And this Tennessee team, to me, they have a lot of questions right now. And a lot of Tennessee fans are upset because they didn't expect to be in this spot right now. They still, you know, you would think in year three, Tennessee fans want them to be able to play with the Georgias and be able to beat the Kentucky. So, you know, be ready at 3-1 heading into Alabama week. Just did not go that way. And just a lot of problems right now in Knoxville and Jeremy Pruitt and the staff.
Let's start with the news of the day. Jimmy Brumbaugh getting let go. I mean, I know what Pruitt said, but why was he fired?
Jeremy Pruitt talked about it today, difference in philosophy. I've been told right. That, you know, there had been some interesting moments between the two. Maybe they didn't agree with how things have run over the last 6 weeks during fall camp and also during preseason practice leading up to that first game in Columbia. You know, the defensive line is missing that monster. You know, you look around the country, what do a lot of teams have? Alabama, the Georgia, the LSUs. They have that monster up front that you can count on second down and third down to be able to make a stop and just somebody that you know you can rely on in and out. Tennessee's problem is they have a lot of guys with just some high motors. and they don't have that big guy yet that's going to be able to make that stop and get pressure on the quarterback. I think with the Brumbaugh situation, I think when you really break it down and look at it, you know, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't know why you fire a coach 4 weeks into the season. I know you're going to do it at the end of the season probably, but why not just stick him in an office somewhere, let him do some recruiting? You know, I think Jimmy Brumbaugh is a smart man. He wouldn't have got the job at Tennessee if he wasn't. So the part about it coming out yesterday, been told that, you know, at the facility they were doing some tape watching and whatnot, and all of a sudden Jimmy Brumbaugh's fired. And I just look at it. I don't know if it's the right move right now. I think Tennessee has too many other problems and too many other position coaches to go after the defensive line coach right now. And I think that's the main thing that sticks out with Tennessee fans today.
Yeah, especially with the lack of production. I mean, everybody's seen the stats, but you know, from halftime of the Georgia game until this very moment, I mean, Tennessee can't do anything offensively. How are you going to fix that?
Well, that's the problem. And look, you look at the rushing game that Tennessee, they got over 100 yards against Kentucky, but it was horrible against Georgia. That Tennessee offensive line just not being able to get that push right now. And you also look at the protection for the quarterback. You've got Georgia and Kentucky coming after. You've got South Carolina coming after the quarterback, even Missouri. So Jared Garantano, and a lot of it is his own mistakes, but he spent a lot of time on his rear end as well. So you look at that Tennessee offensive line and you think, okay, is this what it should be with the amount of good players that we have on this line of scrimmage? I think that I don't want to look at it and blame the players. Something else has got to be going on for a group of this caliber to not be able to produce the way that they should with the stars on that line of scrimmage. And I think you have to look at a position coach along those lines. I think you got to look at the game plan and how the play calling has gone from Jim Chaney. I thought at times things looked a little vanilla. You can tell they definitely got away from passing the ball in the second half. Tennessee's lone scoring drive against Kentucky, most plays were runs. Most plays were Eric Gray or Ty Chandler running the football. And they marched down the field and they scored. They were moving a couple different guys around on the offensive line. I just think right now Tennessee's in a situation where you got to figure out your play calling. You got to figure out your rotation on the offensive line. Because if you have an offensive line where you're rotating seven or eight guys in, you're not building up any chemistry. And that's the problem that I see right now. I think the wide receivers are doing a pretty good job of getting open. I think they're being coached enough well. But you look at the other spots Tennessee's missing. Tight end position. Being able to hit a slant across the middle. Being able to throw a 15-yard out or a 10-yard out. You know, Jeremy Pruitt talked about it. On third and four, why is Tennessee trying to throw it 30 yards the opposite way of the field? You have a running back like Eric Gray and Ty Chandler to be able to dump down on those situations. And you brought in a player like Velus Jones or Brandon Johnson, you already have, to come across the middle. Now, there's a lot of problems right now with Tennessee's offense that the fans did not expect them to be at four games into the season.
Yeah, and finally, I mean, 2 weeks ago, I mean, there was genuine optimism heading to Athens, and now it seems like the balloon has been burst. And when you consider only Alabama is ahead, but that's not it. You still have a lot of really tough games on the schedule, and you know, Tennessee fans were calling you and everyone else, I'm sure, saying, you know, we're going to win one of those big games. Well, right now, those aren't the games that would be of concern. And what, I mean, other than the obvious, what's really at stake Saturday? Because Tennessee is not going to beat Alabama.
Losing the team. I think losing the team, period. I think when you don't have – if Tennessee comes out on Saturday and loses 42-7, okay, you're going to lose the team, and then you're also going to lose the fan base. And that's not a road that you want to go down. I don't know – quarterback situation-wise, Paul, you've heard it. You've been around this town. You know how it is. The backup quarterback's always the beautiful quarterback. But I look at it this situation where if you played a guy now 3.5 some odd years and he's not giving you the results that you need, then I put that on the quarterback coach or the person that's dealing with these quarterbacks as to why the backup is at least not formidable to go out and be able to manage the game that Tennessee needs to. There was, after Garantano threw his two pick sixes, JT Schrout comes in the game, hands the ball off, and then throws an interception across the field. Okay, it was a mistake. But my opinion is, why are you yanking him immediately? Like, you can't just rely on Jared Garantano. There's got to be something different that Jeremy Pruitt's going to do. Because if he rides out with Jared Garantano and it doesn't work out well for the University of Tennessee, he might seal himself at the end and tag himself to number two for his 3 or 4 years in Knoxville.
I'm trying to remember, how long ago was it that Pruitt got a contract extension?
Was it a month and a half ago? About a month and a half ago?
Didn't see. That's it wasn't long.
Yeah. No, it wasn't long. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. 2020 makes it feel like I'm already towards the end of the season right now. We're in 2021.
It seemed like it was right before the season, Trey, I didn't understand what the purpose of that was, other than maybe to try to shore up recruiting. What other reason would Philip Fulmer have given him that?
Well, Paul, I have to ask you, why is it a reason to shore up recruiting? Who's coming after you right now? You know, Alabama's not calling. Clemson's not calling.
Well, no, I mean recruiting for Tennessee. That was my one. Right now nobody's coming after Jeremy Pruitt.
But what is, you know, my biggest thing was you were negotiating this thing before the pandemic, and then you finally released it before the season. All you did was give folks ammunition towards you if things don't go well. I don't understand why they announced it before the season started. I think it set themselves up to be in the situation that we are in right now, where everybody is questioning that extension. So if it was worth it, that's fine. But I don't see why that couldn't have been released after the season. It wasn't like he was getting a pay increase right now. So what's the point in it? So I don't know. You're getting the ramifications of giving that extension and announcing it at the moment. And we just have to see how Tennessee responds. It hasn't been well, Paul.
In final question, you just got through doing a 3-hour show, and I know we callers can be all over the place, but was there a common theme of angst and anxiety from the callers, and exactly to whom was it directed?
No, they were worried. They were worried. Does Tennessee have the right guy? I think Tennessee does. I think Jeremy Pruitt is a really good football coach. I think he can turn things around in Tennessee, but callers are frustrated. Callers are frustrated. And here's one example. And it happened yesterday with Jimmy Brumbaugh. Jeremy Pruitt talked about it today. He said, you know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but he talked about the firing of Jimmy Brumbaugh. He said, if I was already going to do it at the end of the season, why not just go ahead and do it? Well, that quote right there is turning around and biting him in the rear end, because now we're talking about a quarterback who's been here for 3.5 years, who really hasn't produced besides maybe a couple of games. So the question Tennessee fans have, and that's why they've called into the show for the last 3 hours, is, okay, you felt Jimmy Brumbaugh was not going to get the job done. You took care of that now. Why are you hanging on number two and going to rest the rest of the season on a quarterback that has already tried to prove himself and has come up short?
Great question. Always really good to have you on, Trey. Insightful comments, and we will be talking again very soon, I hope. All the best. Get some rest. I know today could not have been easy. We appreciate your time.
Nothing like a news dump at 11:45 last night, Paul. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You bet. Always great to have you on. Trey Wallace, fantastic talk show host in Knoxville, and what a very interesting situation on Rocky Top. We'll take a break. 30 minutes to go. We have reserved plenty of time for you. And looking at the board, I think you're going to enjoy some of these callers, unless you're a Georgia fan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And the comeback of the week goes to Treylon Burke of Arkansas. What an amazing day, an amazing season for the Razorbacks so far. Look at that catch there. Razorbacks come back and they beat Auburn. Treylon, look at his numbers. First three games versus Saturday. He has had quite a month. Congratulations, Treylon Burks. Let's get to some calls here, and he called the shot the other day. A lot of people were hoping he was wrong. They should have known better. Legend is next. Legend, you there? Maybe I'm not hearing Legend, but I'll try. Let me try a different caller here, and then we'll see if Legend is back. Paul is in Arkansas. Hey, Paul, good afternoon.
Oh, this is Paul Lewis.
Oh, hey, Paul. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was my fault. My earplug had fallen out. So go right ahead. Thank you for the call.
Well, first, I just want to have a couple of comments. I was listening to the post-game show of Jimbo Fisher, and he was saying on there that, you know, that for the rest of the schedule, he said, yeah, it's important, but not as important. And then one of the beat writers, I'm not sure which one it was, I can't remember if it was 247 Sports or if it was the Dallas Morning News, they said that Texas A&M could go undefeated and get a 9-1 record. And I was just, when I read, or when I was listening to Jimbo Fisher's post show, I'm like, are you kidding me? Because, I mean, he's got us, he's got South Carolina, he's got Ole Miss, plus he's got some other teams.
LSU, yeah.
And I'm like, are you, you know, even if it might be that way, I don't think you'd say something like that.
Yeah, no, Paul, I'll tell you what, I don't know. I didn't hear it, but I'll go back and listen. That's very unlike Jimbo, but I can understand why you.
Well, I think he was just in the moment, just talking out of, you know, just talking about his team and getting ready for the game. What he was going to do, I don't think he gave it any thought as far as what the implication was that he said. So
no, I think
anyway,
I think you're right. Well, I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Okay, let me do it again because I think he was talking and I couldn't hear him. I think everyone else did. Legend is next.
What's going on, Paul?
Legend, welcome back to the program. Man, a lot of dog fans were hoping you would be eating crow today.
Yeah, that puppy. Come here, puppy. Come here, puppy. Come here, puppy. Come here to daddy. Come here to daddy, puppy. Hey, Paul, let me ask one thing. Are you ready?
I am.
Would somebody please tell Devontae Smith to stop doing Georgia like that?
It's not fair, is it?
Man, I tell you the truth, man. That little puppy right there, every time they think they want to get to the mountaintop, Paul, we slap them back down. And I've said this, Paul, over and over, that the window has closed on the Georgia Bulldogs. It's been closed for a minute. You know, when you have Andrew Thomas, Cobb, you know, Hardman, you have these kind of players and you don't win a championship, when you look at the Georgia roster now, they just don't have them kind of players no more. I said it when Kirby Smart watched Nick Saban win a national championship. This is the mountaintop of Kirby Smart's career, watching Nick Saban win a national championship. That will be his mountaintop. And absolutely, Kentucky will win a national championship before Georgia wins one, Paul. I mean, it's both.
Did you say Kentucky?
Paul. I mean, am I judging this thing wrong or not?
Kentucky is going to win one before Georgia, is that right?
Yeah, hell yeah, Paul. Hell yeah. Georgia's stuck in the 1980s with that offense. It'll take them 3 or 4 years to get an offensive coordinator in there to catch them up to the 21st century. Hell, they have Stenson Bennett, the fourth string quarterback, playing against Alabama. Come on. You supposed to be the Georgia Bulldogs, the state of Georgia is one of the greatest recruiting bases in the world, and you got Stenson Bennett, the fourth string quarterback, playing quarterback for you. The window has closed, old Kirby. It is closed. What about Back Daddy Jones, baby? He's got to make New York, Paul. Don't you agree?
Right now, he would be in New York.
Yep, only quarterback in SEC history with three straight 400-yard games. That's impressive right there, man. That's impressive right there. And, hey, Paul, the Gus bus is on fire, baby. It's on fire.
Hey, before you go, legend, we got an Auburn fan who's on deck here, one of your favorite people in the world.
Oh, who is that? I mean, who is that?
I-Man.
Is it I-Man?
Yeah, I just wondered if you wanted to console him at all after the Gus bus on Saturday.
Well, you know, I-Man and the president got one thing in common, Paul. You know what that is?
I don't know.
Every night they stand in front of their full-length mirror and start singing YMCA. YMCA.
And by the way, as soon as I said I-Man was the next caller, he hung up. So how about that? Hey,
yeah, he don't want no part of the legend.
Hey, thanks, legend. Great to have you on. Robert is up next in Huntsville, Alabama. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? I'm a first-time caller. Watch the show quite often.
Thank you.
A couple comments about Auburn.
Sure.
I heard your comments about these robotic coaches after a loss on Saturday, what they say on Monday. Gus is the eternal optimist. Gus is always saying things are going to be better. That's his mantra. You know, the thing that I read prior to the season this year, they were praising Bo Nix for being so much better this year than he was last year and what a leader he was going to become. Well, you never see Bo Nix on the sideline with the rest of the offense. You never see him even talking to defense. He's always standing over there by himself, sitting by himself. And here's the issue. Does Auburn not have a second team quarterback, a backup quarterback?
Yeah, I think he's in Kentucky now.
Well, I think he is. And I read there was a great article about 2 or 3 weeks ago I read in the Huntsville Times, and it was talking about the number of good quarterbacks that Auburn has lost over the years because Gus, he zeroes in on one quarterback and he's going to play that quarterback no matter what happens. And I'll tell you this right now, you'll never see Bo Nix sitting on the sideline simply because his father is Pat Nix and is the ties to Auburn. Now, I've been an Auburn fan all my life and I've watched him be up, I've watched him be down, and I've always pulled for him. I've never seen a team as disjointed as this team is this year. It's pathetic. I mean, what the only phase of the game that they got anything going is the kicker. And Carlson missed a chip shot recently. And then you see the players fighting on the sidelines or arguing on the sidelines. And I know what Seth Williams was saying. He was saying, Bo, if you throw the ball behind me and I've got a defense player on my back, I don't have a chance of catching the football. He was either throwing it toward the press box, or he was throwing it in the ground Saturday, and I don't see him being better this year than he was last year. He's not the field general that he was in high school, and as far as his running, you know, he could run, but the thing is, he's playing against the best of the best. You're not playing against high school football teams where he could run 20, 30 yards when he wanted to. And the reason Auburn fans haven't called in today because they're just tired of watching the debacle at Auburn University. When you look at the money that Auburn's paying that coach down there, and he's not even in the top 25, and look at his record, Paul, over time. If you look at Gus's record for the last 5 years, he's averaging about a 7-6 or a 7-5 season or 8-4 season.
No, listen, Robert, I hate to run. I deeply appreciate the call. We are late for a break, but let's talk again soon. I have a feeling there will be plenty to talk about. Up against the break, back with a few more minutes on this Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.